Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. So as it's the very first episode, I thought it would be a good start for me to tell you a little bit more about myself and my own backstory and the reason I started making this podcast to help more self-employed business owners and what my actual why is and what's motivated me. So the reason that I began was because I do feel that there isn't a great amount of information that we're being equipped with when we leave school to be able to teach us how to actually be self-employed. So I know this from my own experience because I had a 19-year-old daughter who left school and she said 7 magic words to me. She said, "Mum, I want to start working for myself." And that was the catalyst really for me to move into this whole area where I am now. And I wanted to support her first and foremost, and now I want to do the same for other self-employed business owners. And with my own journey, I knew that my daughter would be amazing at what she wanted to do. In fact, she's been in the beauty sector now and is doing really, really well. And my youngest son is also self-employed as an electrician. But for both of them, when they left school, they didn't have any of those skills to know what to do. And there isn't a college or an academy that they can go to learn how to become self-employed. So I really felt that as a parent, it was my responsibility to help them on that journey and to make it as easy as possible and to equip them with everything that they needed. Now, I know not everyone is like me. I know I can sometimes seem a little bit bonkers, and it's great that we are all different. But in order to help my own son and daughter, I was motivated to make them a tool to be able to help them on that journey. And that's my own story, or part of my story, and what I've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years. I made a software tool called Pocket PA, and it's helped them to join up all the dots in their businesses and to manage their business, understand their finances all from one place. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as I explain things later. But I think the first thing to do would be to rewind completely back, tell you a bit more about my own squiggly journey to this point. And when I look back, I can see now how my own childhood, my upbringing really, it's equipped me for being self-employed in a way that perhaps other people's hasn't. And I don't have any rags to riches stories. I didn't come from any sad or dreadful upbringing, nothing like that at all. I think I had a relatively happy childhood and I thought I was pretty ordinary at the time. But looking back, I can see now that it was actually anything but ordinary. I guess when you're in it, you don't really know any different. So it just seemed like I was doing what everyone else was doing. So I was born into a services family. My dad was a pilot in the Royal Air Force, even though he was from New Zealand. And my mother was a stay-at-home mum for the majority of the time. I had one older brother, 2 older sisters, and they were all at boarding school mostly from as young as I can remember. So in my family, I was the only child for most of the time. And then my brother and sisters were parachuted into the family home during school holidays. And I had to adapt quite a lot from being on my own in a family of 3 of us to then having a full house with 6 of us there. And looking back, I found that quite hard at times, not really understanding where I fitted in. And on top of that, we also moved a lot, an awful lot, actually. I had a total of 11 different changes of home and school where I moved from different places. I was at boarding school twice when I was 10 and again when I was at 16. I lived in Germany for 5 years. I went to an American school in Germany for a term. And at the age of 9, I was sent to a German school where I spoke no German at the beginning. Nobody spoke any English because we were only little. And I sat in a classroom and it was really difficult communicating. I couldn't have regular conversations with everyone around me. But I did adapt. And by the end of that year, I was fluent in German. And then it was time to move again. We lived in Oman in the Middle East, and my mum had to homeschool me. And I also went part-time to a Greek school. There were seven little Greek guys and they spoke no English as well. So I had to just join in with the maths classes and the bingo afternoons because numbers seemed to be a universal thing that we could all follow. In addition to that, we lived in India for 3 years. So I came backwards and forwards to England and I went to a boys' boarding school for my sixth form. But looking back now, this whole movement, this back and forth, all these changes I experienced when I was growing up, they were probably the ideal learning ground for me to work out how to become very resourceful, very independent, very self-sufficient, and to know that I could totally rely on myself, whatever the situation was. I had to, because there was only ever me. And when I left school, if I'm really honest, I don't think I actually knew what I wanted to do. I think that's very similar to so many people back then and still these days. And I don't think at the age of 17 or 18 that any of us are terribly well versed in life to actually know specifically what our life career is going to be at that point. So I'd got caught up in the university application process and I was applying for places and I tried to do hotel and catering management and I got a place at Guildford. But straight after leaving school at the start of my gap year, I decided that it definitely wasn't what I wanted to do. So I looked through the careers book A to Z and I stopped at P and I thought physiotherapy might be more suitable for me. I applied and thankfully I got in and after my year off, I began a 4-year degree doing physio and I completed that in London. But as soon as I'd finished it, again, that wasn't what I wanted to do anymore. And I applied to join the Navy to be a helicopter pilot, I think, and I was accepted into their officer training program at Dartmouth. I thought in my head that going into the forces might be something that would allow me to sort of come full circle, as I was very much used to living in a services lifestyle from my own family and upbringing. But not long after I'd applied, I met my future husband. And so I actually decided to carry on doing physio in the NHS. And I settled down to have my family at that point. Now, I guess I did maybe 2 years in the NHS. That was my first and only proper employed role in my adult career. I'd had quite a few other smaller part-time, full-time jobs in the interim, and they were all great places for me to see how it felt working in a job for someone else. And I did learn different skills, but on balance, I must say I wasn't a big fan. I worked at Curry selling washing machines and TVs. I worked at Tesco's on the checkout in a pub. I worked in a kitchen peeling sprouts. I waitressed with the National Trust. And I think once I'd had my family, I did that in really close succession. So I had 4 kids in 4 years. And by the time I was 30, I decided I wanted to start working again, but I was a really busy mum and I was used to juggling things with my own family at home and decided that I didn't want to go into an employed role where I'd have to go and be on someone else's timeline with fixed hours and I would lose that flexibility. So I decided to set up my first proper self-employed business and I became a physio working from home back then before it was even trendy. And I was lucky enough to have a place that I could adapt and convert into a private physio practice right next door to my house. So I began this, I think it was about 3 months after my youngest baby, Olivia, was born. And because the kids were all under 4, I didn't even have anyone at school at that age. And I had a new business. It was such an exciting time. I was so busy. I was rushed off my feet and I loved it. And I suppose it was about 3 years into having my physio practice, as if that wasn't enough, I then decided I wanted to do something else. And I retrained as a mortgage broker. Don't ask me why. I know those two things aren't similar, but I was looking for a new challenge and I decided to retrain. And from there, I moved into working in property and finance. I learned another whole load of new skills. And I was doing that for probably in the next 10 to 15 years, pretty much full time. So I'd got my physio practice in the background and I was also starting to buy and sell property. I was doing some property training courses and I also got into some construction development, refurbishment work, that sort of thing. I had a business partner at the time and we'd also got a separate business where we were landlords and renting out properties that we were buying. So the financial crash happened around 2008 till I think it was about 2012 and we managed to hold on throughout, but it was really touch and go. It was challenging. And at this point, I'd sold my physio practice. And whilst I was predominantly doing the property and the finance stuff, I was also doing some other side hustles alongside my property business. I always love a good side hustle. So some of my favorite ones were, I'd got a spray tanning business called Spray Tantastic, and I did that from home. I had a pancake business called Pancake Passion, and I did that with the kids. I just showed them how to set up and run a small business when you buy all the items in, you advertise. I think we did weddings, sweet 16, birthday parties, local markets, shopping centers, that sort of thing. And then we made the pancakes, added all the toppings, served them with a big smile, and we sold them and then totted up everything and divided the profits between us. So that gave them a basic idea of how to run a small business. I just wanted to show them that it wasn't rocket science to be self-employed and that it was an option for them, even back then when they were quite small. Another thing I did, I had an online photo editing business called Magic My Photos. I set up a website. I had that made in India, I think in about 2009. And I did that for over 10 years. And again, that was just another extra income on the side. I had a baby massage business, and I had another business called Platinum Petals with dried rose flowers. I think they're called Forever Roses, which we just gift boxed. And they were really popular about 3 or 4 years ago. So for me, these little mini side hustles, they were great fun. They provided a bit of extra income, and I was always one for setting up and starting something new. So when Megan came home after a holiday, she'd already left school, and she just said, "Mum, I want to work for myself." That was when I just knew it was going to be a really exciting time for her and to step out and become that entrepreneur, to become self-employed before she was even 20. I was just like so excited. But as I said, there wasn't an awful lot of information that she'd been equipped with when she left school. She'd got GCSEs and A-levels, but she didn't really know what she wanted to do when she left, apart from just not going to university. And one of the things that I said to my kids was, once they leave school, by the following September, they have to be working and doing something that's earning the money. Didn't matter what it was. I was very passionate about where you begin is never where you end up. And just looking at my own journey, where I knew I'd started off with physiotherapy and gone through a multitude of different options, I just knew that it wasn't going to be her final destination, whatever she chose at 18. So it doesn't matter that it's a squiggly journey, because I think the journey, the getting there to your destination, I think you have to really enjoy that part of life. And you shouldn't get so caught up at the single end result, because if you're not enjoying the journey, then it's all a bit pointless. And you can enjoy both. So when she said that she wanted to start working for herself, I knew she'd be amazing at what she did. But because she's got dyscalculia, where she finds spreadsheets and numbers really overwhelming, I think my biggest concern was how she was going to manage all of the business stuff and to manage the finances, because I knew that in order for her to be able to submit her tax return at the end of 12 months, she would need to manage her numbers. If she wasn't able to do that, then there wasn't going to be a business that she could carry on with after that time. And when she started, she had a prized possession that she had, this lovely golden file of fax. It housed all her whole business inside those pages. But I began doing some research and some due diligence, and everything I was looking at was all around digital products. And I was able to find an app for this, an app for that, an app for something else. There were numerous different apps out there. But for her, nothing seemed to be joining up all the dots or showing her all the information in a way that I knew she could really process and understand, which is no nonsense, no jargon. It just gets to the nub of what she's doing in her business and to help her understand her finances at a glance and to save her time, save her money. And that was just the main thing that I was looking for. So when I couldn't find it, like every good parent, we always want to solve a problem. I just thought, well, how hard can it be? I'm going to make that for her. And so began my journey into software. Having never written a line of code, and I never planned to, I just wanted to make her this magic tool that was going to join up all the dots and sprinkle this fairy dust to help her become super successful, enable her to earn lots of money and take lots of holidays. So I began making Pocket PA, and I found a software developer, and I think I've had a 6-year journey nearly so far, loads of ups and downs. I think those would need to go into another episode, and loads of challenges. But one of the biggest things and the biggest lessons I've learned was to never take no for an answer. And I was a single female founder of Pocket PA. I did it by myself, and I had no previous technical or background experience in software. And I didn't really know where to start. I was totally green, very naive when I got going. And I did get burnt an awful lot of times because I had people that I trusted because I thought everybody was trustworthy. And I wrongly thought that everybody worked like I did and that they would also be transparent. But I very quickly learned that not all people operated like that. And I won't go into all the ins and outs of people that didn't act in integrity in all my business life, or in my own software journey, but I've had some roller coaster moments. And the first came after I'd invested quite a lot of money with a guy based overseas. And he told me that he and his team were developing my software. And 3 weeks before we were due to go to the first launch of Pocket PA at the NEC in Birmingham at the beauty show, he kept telling me it was nearly ready. He was going to show it to me. And naively, I'd been spending all this money and I hadn't actually seen anything near the final version. And just before we were due to go to the show, he did a runner. He blew me out and I had nothing, literally nothing. And there was a big fat gap. I had no Pocket PA. I did have an empty bank account, but I had nothing to show for it and nothing for us to take to the NEC Birmingham. And I'd bought a place on the stand. I think I'd spent about £1,200 with Megan. We'd got t-shirts printed and we were supposed to be going up there to do this launch, but we've got nothing to show anyone. And I was absolutely devastated. I don't think I got out of bed for 2 days. I didn't know what to do. The kids were really worried and they were like, "Mum, what are you going to do?" And I got up one morning and I just said, "Fine, Megan, we're going to put our big girl pants on. We're going to go up there anyway. And we're going to tell everyone that this is a pre-launch party for Pocket PA." And that's exactly what we did. And for 3 whole days, we stood on our stand, smiling, looking confident, telling everyone about how amazing it was. Pocket PA, this fictitious app that hadn't even been made at the time because I'd not had anything delivered, even though I'd paid loads of money. But I still knew that it was a great idea. I still knew that it was what Megan needed. And I knew I had to do something to get her away from her trusty golden Filofax booking system. So we gathered about 300 emails of people that were interested in the idea over that weekend. And I just put the whole nightmare down to experience. I decided to call it my market research. And the following Monday morning, I got back, woke up, and I had a new resolve. And I realized that we still needed this tool. I still had to make it. And we'd just had some endorsements from about 300 people and had said, "Wow, that sounds really great. Let's know when it comes out." So I dug deep again. I went back into the piggy bank and I started out on my journey to find a new developer. And long story short, I've been through about 6 or 7 developers now. I've been working with my current team for the last 3 years. And it's been night and day, I think, working with the current team compared to where I was. I remember flying out to Warsaw to meet my current Ukrainian developer, and he couldn't get a visa to come to the UK. And we sat in Starbucks over New Year with the snow falling outside. And we just literally sat there brainstorming all of the features that I wanted to put into it. I felt like Mummy Christmas. And I read that only around 2% of software founders in the tech world are female. So I'm already in a very small minority and I'm really proud of the journey that we've come on. I certainly haven't got everything right. And because I'm neurodiverse, my brain works in a slightly different way to most people's. But I think it's my superpower. And I'm someone that drills very deep into something. I want to do my best at whatever it is that I try. And yeah, it's been challenging because I haven't had any technical background, but I just had to keep pushing. And when I heard a developer say to me, "Oh, that can't be done," and "No, that's not possible," I think because I was so clear on the vision of what I wanted, I just wasn't able to take no for an answer. So I've literally just picked up whatever software they made for me. I moved it on to the next developer and I said, "Just because you can't do it, it doesn't mean that it can't be done. I just need to move to a team that's got more experience." And that's tended to be typical of my whole wiggly route into self-employment. I always found through life, whenever I wanted to work with people and they told me it wasn't possible, I'd just gone into my own head and thought, right, it's just not something that they can help me with. It's not that it can't be done, it's just that they don't know how to do it. So it's taken a lot of resilience to just keep moving forwards because I could have given up at any point in time. No one would have known any different that Pocket PA was missing in the world. But I knew that Megan and people like her, and they just needed this help to run their small business because not everybody's got a maths degree or a mum that can make them an app. So many people don't have any experience being self-employed. But the common thing is that everyone, whoever they are, when they have a small business, they've got to do a tax return and they've got to manage their business day to day. And no one starts a new business because they want to do more business admin, said no one ever. But unfortunately, it's one of those things that they have to do. And when they're working on their admin tasks in their business, it's not directly income producing. They're not actually earning money or getting paid, spending that time doing those things. And so while they're busy sorting out their messaging of their clients, their finances, checking, putting in their expenses, tracking their income, all those sorts of things, they're not actually earning money while they're doing that. So they need to be able to do those things in the shortest amount of time and for it to be the easiest way possible. And that was one of my big drivers as to why I made Pocket PA. So I could help people manage all of their bookings, their clients, appointments, billing, invoicing, reminders, thank you messages, income and expense tracking, accounts, just in the fastest possible way with the least amount of stress, so that they could get back to spending time doing what they loved and being with their clients and working in that zone of genius. And I wanted Pocket PA to be this secret sauce, this PA in your back pocket at an affordable price. And my goal was for Pocket PA to cost less than the price of hiring a personal assistant for 1 hour a month. That was my goal. So I needed to have a ceiling on what it was going to cost people to come and use Pocket PA. In addition to that, Sam, my youngest son, he became self-employed as an electrician and he had left school at 16. And he's got dyslexia, so he finds reading things, doing all those admin-y things really hard because he's got a very short attention span. He doesn't like to spend any time on that sort of stuff, but because he's self-employed, he's got to do all of those things. And he has to raise an invoice, he has to track a payment, track his business expenses. And when he started, I went round to his flat and I was horrified. I had said to him, Sam, where are you putting all of your stuff? And he was like, oh, don't worry, it's fine, Mum. And he got out this old red battered Nike shoe box, and on the end of it, it had written in a Sharpie pen, important stuff. And he said, oh, don't worry, Mum, I've got it all in here. And he'd got all of his receipts in this box, all in a disheveled way. And I just said to him, Sam, right, you need to start using Pocket PA. And he uses Pocket PA in a completely different way to how Megan uses it. So Megan uses it for everything end to end. She's like Miss Super Organized, whereas Sam is a much more laid back character, dare I say it, disorganized. And he just uses a few of the features that Pocket PA's got. But both of them are both able to do their accounts at the end of the year within around 10 minutes. And they can get everything that they need out of Pocket PA to get their tax return done in less than quarter of an hour. And both of them know exactly how much their profit is to the penny every single day when they look at it, because I've made sure that they can see all of that information in a big coloured dial. It's green and red, and it just is simple. It's really easy for them to understand it. So all that sort of information, when you're able to have all of those figures and that information at your fingertips, I think that's what makes you a really powerful business owner. And I know that there are a million ways to make £1 million, but if you are feeling trapped in your job, if you procrastinate, if you're a perfectionist, if you're just too scared to take the plunge, then I'm here to tell you that that's totally okay to have those worries. It's really normal at the beginning of any self-employed business journey. And you may have had parents that have always been employed, who have always had a job. Maybe your whole life you've been expected to have a job. I talk about job, J-O-B, just over broke. Maybe you're working on someone else's timeline, building someone else's empire, and you're being rewarded with a paycheck, which is great for people that want that certainty, if they want to have a very structured lifestyle where they always know where they are and they want to have a really fixed routine. But for those people that are perhaps square pegs that are being pushed into round holes, it's different. And I believe that in life there are circles and there are squares, and we shouldn't be forcing square pegs into round holes and making people become squircles if it's not a natural fit. We've all got our own zone of genius, every single one of us. And if you've got a much more entrepreneurial mindset, if you want to be in charge of your own destiny and your own boss, then there is another way. And playing small and not wanting to take that plunge because you're afraid of becoming self-employed, that's something that I don't want anyone else to be trapped in that cycle. Because people can sometimes think, oh, I can't be self-employed because of this or that. They might think, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too shy, too poor, I'm too whatever it is. Often people say, I'm not book smart. And that's a really big misconception, by the way. I'm not smart enough. It's complete and utter rubbish. And whether you're book smart or not at school, it's not a precursor as to whether you're going to be successful or great at being self-employed. Just look at Alan Sugar, Richard Branson. I don't think they were particularly academic, good students, and I don't see them being held up through any lack of formal qualifications now. And sometimes I hear people say, oh, it's not for people like us. But who even are people like us? Why not us? And it is for people like us. There's room for everyone to be successful. So don't ever think that you can't do something, because if there is another person already doing it, then so can you. I could have thought exactly that about making Pocket PA, that I couldn't make a software tool because I didn't have any experience, because I was a woman, I didn't have any tech knowledge, know how to do coding. It wasn't cool and trendy for me to go into that tech space. I wasn't in the right age bracket, and it wasn't for people like me. But I'm living proof that that's not true. People like us can do things like this. even things that are incredibly hard. So there's room for lots and lots of people. If you have got an idea that you want to follow, it doesn't matter if there's someone else already doing it in your hometown. I think they've already proven that it's possible to do it there. And the other reasons that I hear why people don't jump into self-employment, the I don't know how to group. So I don't know how to do accounts. I don't know how to get clients. I don't know how to market myself. I don't know. I hear that a lot. And that's exactly where everybody else starts. And they all start by learning, and they're going to have a year of firsts. They're going to have their first client, their first business expense, their first payment, the first set of accounts. Everything in that whole first year is a set of firsts. And that's where everybody starts out. So I'm really passionate about people not being put off or intimidated because they don't know these things or because they think that they don't have that experience. The Pocket PA family is a whole community of people who probably all thought at the beginning that they weren't enough or they didn't know how to do things, but they've done it anyway. And they're smashing it out of the park because they were brave enough to take that first step. So I really want to debunk this myth that you have to be book smart or you have to know exactly what you're doing when you start out in business and you start working for yourself, because everybody starts at the beginning, earning their first pound or their first dollar, whatever it is. And one of the other sayings that I always have is your attitude determines your altitude. So depending on whether you're a glass half full or a glass half empty, it doesn't matter which one you are, because guess what? You can always fill up your glass. You can always learn these things. And it's really important not to let that stop you just because you don't know something. And there's also this ripple effect of helping each other. When we all need a purpose, we all need to lead a fulfilling life. And for me, since I made Pocket PA and helping Meg and Sam, they're my purpose. And it's now helping other people who are starting out in business. And I want to just create this ripple effect to help other people, and they will then go on to help more people themselves. Another thing I've heard is people saying you can't be who you can't see, which for me means that we need to be role models for people around us to inspire them and to let them know that we can try things and become people that they've never dreamt of before. So I want you to realize that there's room for everyone to be successful. Challenge that belief that people like us don't start their own business and they can't work for themselves. You can blaze a trail, and you will find like-minded people that lift you up once you start looking for them. And success is not just for the chosen few. And I have a really big quote that I've had printed out at home, and I want to read it here for you because I think it's been really impactful for me. And it's called The Man in the Arena, and it's about daring greatly, which is something I first came across with a lady called Brené Brown. And she talks and writes a lot about this. And this quote was written by US President Teddy Roosevelt. And what the quote says is this: "It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who comes short again and again, who spends himself in a worthy cause, and who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." And I love this saying because it's basically talking about the people who try, those people who get down and dirty, who go out there, who are brave enough to do something. It doesn't matter about those critics who are in the front row, those naysayers, the party poopers, those friends or relatives that might say, "Oh God, what the heck are you doing? Thinking of working for yourself, it's not going to work." Those people, they're not brave enough to take that step that you might be thinking about doing. And their opinions really don't matter because they are not down there in the dirt and the dust trying hard and being prepared to do what you're doing. And the opinions that I listen to are those of people who are in the trenches doing the same thing as me, and they're prepared to take that risk and put their neck on the line. They know it's not easy, but they're prepared to try it anyway. And whether that's being self-employed straight out of school, whether that's trying it for the first time after you've had a family, or maybe you've just retired, you'd like to start trying something. Perhaps you're thinking about leaving your current safe and secure job role. Self-employment is available for everybody, and there is no limitation. You're only setting your own limitations. And sure, I've had some challenges and you will as well, but it's something that we all live by. Challenges help to make us the people that we feel proud of being. And challenges are there for all of us, whether we're self-employed or employed. And I don't want to have any regrets. I think that when you get to that last dying breath, I don't want to sound morbid, but when you've got that last dying breath, I think you'll look back and you'll realize that it's the things that we didn't do that we regret way more than the things that we did try. And for me, I need to spend my life doing something that lights me up and feels purposeful. And I'm not really a big risk taker. I think I'm a calculated risk taker. I'm prepared to back myself. But I do that because I know that I'm the only horse in my race. I'm not competing with anyone else. So I know that I have what it takes to make it over the finish line. And with Deborah James dying recently, she was the bowel cancer babe and she was literally just 40. It was so tragic. She died of cancer and she left a letter to her children. And one of the things that I read she said in it was for them to take more chances. And I think that in life, we need to stop playing small. We do need to be prepared to take chances. Be unapologetically you, because we don't want to regret those things that we didn't do. And for me, starting this podcast has been one of those things that scared the pants off me for ages. I know I've been playing small in keeping Pocket PA the best kept secret ever. I've spent ages thinking about doing a podcast, planning it, making excuses on why I couldn't do it, why I wasn't ready. But I've given up doing that now. So I've decided to work on the premise of progress over perfection. And I'm already in a tiny small percentage of people that are prepared to actually do it and put it out there. And I think perfection is actually a bit overrated. So I'm doing more things a bit outside of my comfort zone, not too far outside it. I've interviewed lots of lovely, amazing guests, and I'm going to be sharing them with you over the coming weeks. So the podcasts are going to be perfect if you're either self-employed already or you're thinking about it. And we're going to be covering topics like legal things, how to protect yourself, about your terms and conditions, how to get money back from people who don't pay you, how to get yourself into newspapers, pimp up your PR opportunities, social media hacks, about hidden insurances that you might need to protect your business. I've done an episode on looking after yourself with self-care. And I'm also going to be sharing other people's journeys into self-employment so that we can hear firsthand how it's rarely a straight line and how so many people just fall into it. Because I think I'm trying to encourage you to get started and step into doing something which might be uncomfortable. So I need to lead by example and just get started doing this podcast and stop holding myself up. I know the podcasts aren't quite Radio 1 sound quality, but I hope you'll enjoy them. The early ones I recorded are a little bit more rustic and beginnerish, so you'll spot those ones probably. But today's episode has been all about my journey into self-employment and some of the things that I've done. And I hope you'll enjoy all the guests that I've got lined up for you. They've got such interesting stories. Each one's got expertise, and there's always a gem and a takeaway for you to learn by listening each week. I've invested loads over the last 30 years in myself in business, and I've been fortunate enough to learn so many things. And whilst I'm still learning each and every day, I hope I can at least share some of the things that I've picked up to give you some shortcuts so that you don't have to make some of the same mistakes that I've made. And just remember, there is always space for you to go out there, shine your light. We're all totally unique, and it's so important that you just get to be yourself when you're working in your own business. I would love for you to connect with me. I love hearing your own business stories. And I've got two Instagram accounts. There's one at Caro Sison and also one at pocketpa.gb. I'll pop a link into the show notes. So please send me a message if you'd like to connect. The podcast is going to be out every Monday. So please do subscribe, share it with anyone that you think it might also help, especially if they're thinking of starting out or stepping into becoming self-employed for the first time. And the last thing left for me to say now is I can't wait to help you become more successful in your own self-employed business life. And I really hope that the title will reflect what I'm passionate about, which is for you to earn more money with the least amount of stress. Have a wonderful day, whatever it is you're up to. Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.